It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat. It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
And luckily, we live in a universe where none of that stuff happened, so we don't have to deal with it.
Yeah, why are we even talking about it?
I don't know, but we certainly aren't recording it. So.
It's interesting to talk about, I guess, that other universe, since we have to...
So fewer goatees. And from what I hear, they have quite a few goatees, but not like here. I mean, everything.
Well, that's the downside goatees. Over there, yeah. Among other downsides, but...
I mean, that water bottle over there has a goatee.
Well, of course
over
it does.
There, that's weird for them.
It is?
They don't have a lot of water bottles with goatees.
Oh, I thought you were going to say they don't have a lot of water bottles.
I feel like they have a lot of water bottles.
Okay.
A lot of water bottles.
Just not with goatees?
No, with goatees.
That's so weird.
I know, right? Hello, and welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast. I feel like I'm doing my NPR voice. Here at the top of the hour, in just a few moments here, Nina Totenberg will recite some Shel Silverstein, and we'll all have a good laugh. And then, a little while later... I haven't listened to NPR in a while. I've lost all the other cool names.
Should we ask for McCollin?
Quvenzhané, what's her name? The little girl from Beast of the Southern Wild.
Should we have them make pledges and?
Yeah, we'll give you
for great gifts.
I don't remember
mugs
who
and tote
made
bags.
The joke the first time, but somebody did a Nina Toten bag one time. And I'm like, oh my god,
that's good.
That's such a nerdy in-joke, and the fact that I, like, find it hilarious makes me kind of feel bad about myself.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it was Peter Sagal on Wait, Don't Tell Me That did that joke. But anyway, welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast. The only podcast that has water bottles with goatees.
Probably.
In the world.
Probably. In their whatever, yeah.
Yes, it's complicated, but trust us. I'm Evil Tony.
And I'm Evil William, and we don't know which...
This is episode...
Numbered episode...
666.
You're listening to, because it's, you know, yeah, we're not part of your little universe. We just get called in when the guys over there, for whatever reason, are incapacitated.
This balloon has a hole in it.
Which, ordinarily... Those guys being incapacitated would amuse us, but it usually means we have to do this. So
remember, good or evil, Tony is lazy. So welcome. For those of you just joining us ever.
That's too bad because they have no
idea
what's
going
on.
This is a weird place to start. People, not us, two other people have a hat. It's magical. It has its own email address. That email address is themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And people like to write to that email address with questions, comments, topics, things like that. The hat magically, on its own, transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifests physically within the hat itself. Those other guys, and on sad, rare occasions, us, reach into that hat, draw out a card at random, read it on the air, talk about it till we're bored, do that for about an hour, and that's the show. So, welcome to our living nightmare.
The thing is, the hat seems to mandate that a podcast is posted without fail the evening of every Thursday.
Yes.
Now, occasionally, the people who normally do this podcast are...
Us without goatees.
Yeah, who can't do it. So the hat reaches into an alternate dimension where we, the evil counterparts,
yes,
live.
We have goatees.
We have goatees. That's how you can tell that we're evil.
And
so
William never leaves a penny.
And so we have to do it. And so that's what you're listening to.
Yes.
They call them mystery episodes over there, I understand.
Because they still haven't figured it out.
Right.
So those of you listening from that other dimension, please keep them safe.
And healthy. Because
if they die...
I'm sure that we're going to have to start doing it on a permanent basis.
It's going to be a mess.
Yeah.
So welcome. Shut up and listen. And then get out of my face. That's what I'm saying to you.
Here. Before the podcast, we were talking about
politics.
Well, specifically the late 18th century politics of the alternate universe. Very, very different from our 18th century politics. But
yeah, ours was more like your college films of the 80s.
That still amuses me that's true. Mm. But hey, what are you going to do?
Over there, John Belushi never became president.
What? Really?
Yes.
Did you look that up specifically, or did you just...
I did.
Oh, wow.
I looked it up on Evilpedia.
Because you wanted to know, because he's, you know, he's got his own monument and everything. And
oh, yeah.
Over here. And you thought, well, whatever happened to him over there? Did he become president? Well, what did happen to him over there?
Dead.
Well, yeah, he's dead over here now, too, but...
No, dead sooner.
Really?
Yes.
What?
Drugs are a bigger deal over there.
Oh, I was going to... I thought maybe they killed him, like...
No.
While he was running, or while he was...
No. Remember how he was constantly high during his campaign?
Well, yes.
He did...
I mean...
He did that earlier and a lot more.
So?
So he died of it.
You can die of it over there?
You can.
Boy.
That universe sucks.
Yeah, it really does. Mm-hmm. If the whole lack of goatee thing didn't already tell you that.
There was a sketch Mitchell and Webb did one time that was a secret society that secretly ran everything. And the society was founded on the principle of being just a little drunk. Because you can do everything better when you're just a little bit drunk. And so they were a society that was dedicated to staying just that level of drunk all the time and then secretly running things. And it's like a beer and a half or like one glass of wine and stuff, but you have to stay there. And it's this whole elaborate thing. And when you just have a little buzz going, you're much better. And I believe the joke at the end is one of them like drinks the rest of the second beer or whatever and just destroys. Just ruins it because you're not stable at that point.
Yeah.
It's a mess. Like everything... when you just have that slight bit of depressant it's, going on, it makes you just right.
Equilibrium. Thing.
It was a very British thing. To do, but, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and who was it? Oh, I think it was the Newsreaders show on Comedy Central that had occasional references to the first ever openly drunk candidate, and the whole time he was just drunk out of his mind.
Mm.
It was pretty. yeah, let's do the hat.
Yeah, let's get right to it.
Yeah.
Maybe the sooner we do that, the sooner we can be finished.
Time flies when you're trapped in a podcast. It does not fly. Do not do a podcast hoping time will go by quicker. It does not.
Azure Talon with 3 exclamation points.
I really like that guy.
Yeah. Dear dissonant and confused forced voices of the magical talking hat.
That's clever.
Pickled food is great. Well, that's a matter of opinion right there. I don't know.
Maybe it's a religious thing over there.
I don't know how...
Pickled food is great.
Yeah. I don't know how everybody feels about it, but Azure Talon asserts that pickled food is great.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about pickles and pickling.
You know who pickles a fair bit.
The producer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not so much recently, but normally, yes, she pickles a great deal of things.
I don't know the entire history of pickling, of course, but obviously it was conceived early as something to preserve certain types of food for a long period of time.
Somebody just left some shit in some nasty water and was like, this actually tastes better. By shit, I mean like a vegetable or something. I think what happened...
At some point in antiquity, actually, someone discovered how certain things could be preserved by various means, especially with salt.
Yes, salt was the big one early on.
And, that gradually evolved into keeping things in brine, and, you know, that's how we eventually...
When did vinegar get... Who discovered vinegar? Like, how does that work?
First pickles would have been fermented, not vinegar.
Oh...
The producer says the first pickles would have been fermented, not vinegar. So you kind of get the impression of how the whole thing sort of went from one thing to the next, evolved.
I always feel like those kind of things, though, I feel like has to have been an accident start. I feel like cheese is because somebody spoiled milk so bad that it became solid and they were dumb enough to eat it.
I've got a theory about that, actually.
Oh.
Cheese
theory. I love cheese theories.
Maybe it's more of a butter theory. I don't know, but
I can work with that.
But
less satisfying, but still tasty.
What made me think of this was a lot of the places that have a very long history of dairy from cows and goats, and also have a very long history of cheeses and butters and things,
yes,
are in hilly or mountainous regions. I wonder if, let's say, you're transporting some dairy, some milk of some kind, over a significant distance.
Okay.
It gets warm, but it's also churning while it's being on the beast of burden that's like carrying it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that maybe sometimes once you get to your destination, it's curdled, you know,
yeah,
or whatever. Well, and there, of course, today people don't think about it this way, but for most of human history, that's not going to prevent you from eating it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you're going to think, well, is this still good? And, you know, that maybe started the whole notion of...
Butter especially, yeah. Because butter, you just shake up milk, you get butter.
It takes a while, though. I mean, that's the problem with my theory, is that you'd have to travel a long way and it'd have to be sloshing around in something for a really long time.
We did it in school in baby food jars. We get milk and then we shake them and we make our own butter.
Hmm.
But it does take a while and take vigorous shaking. But just all of the things of transformative food things and preservative food things, I always imagine all of them as just somebody ruined food and then was crazy enough to eat it again. And that just tickles me to death.
Well, I mean, that goes along with the theory. It's hard to imagine. I mean, I've often thought about butter in particular, how difficult it is, and you have to churn it for a long time. It's just hard to imagine how accidentally someone discovered this process.
Well, if you churn it, so you're going up over the hills or whatever, you don't have to have turned the milk into butter.
That's true.
You need a little bit. So you pour it out, and you're like, whoa, there's goop at the bottom.
Yeah.
Oh, this goop tastes good. See, that's the part that always cracks me up.
What if I just...
They're like, this is good goop.
What if I just keep doing this? You've got a generation or two
that just takes the milk and gives you the milk, and now we've got, this is a good batch of goop here, you know. And then at some point, excuse me.
Would you stop? It's just a balloon, everybody.
It's got a little hole in it now, which
is an idiot.
I didn't do it on purpose.
I know.
I had eggs for lunch.
Stop it.
And then at some point, somebody's like, how does the goop happen? And then they work at getting more goop.
Well, and that's an interesting thing, because
at a certain point, the trade routes get incredibly convoluted and hilly and stuff just to get more goop.
Well, but here's the thing about that, too. I think people vastly underestimate the intelligence of early people. I think that...
I try.
I think that some things that if we worked hard enough, we could imagine happening by accident, very easy accidents. The people who experienced those accidents were probably clever enough to put together some things that we modern people tend to think they wouldn't have or couldn't have.
Yes, but they were still stupid to eat the accident, and they were still stupid enough to eat the accident in the first place, which is a brilliant thing. I feel like this is the last major burst of evolution for humanity was during this time, because for every guy who's like, wow, this grain that got real wet or whatever has gone bad, oh, it's beer, you know? For every one of those, there's like 8 guys who ate other shit that went bad and just died. Basically, everything spoiled at some point, and only some of it worked out.
Yeah, but...
And so all those people...
I don't think it was stupid for people to try those things. I don't think
Tell that to the widows of those 8 guys.
I don't think they, like, had huge quantities of it. I think they put it in their mouths, and if it tasted bad, they'd spit it right back out. Maybe they'd get a little sick.
No, because beer would never have been invented otherwise, because beer tastes bad. You have to ingest a quantity of it,
all right.
Then later be like, hey, that was fun, and go back for some more.
As far as pickles are concerned, I've always liked pickles.
I'm fond of pickles.
Of all kinds. Sweet,
super fond of
dill.
Pickles. I'm fairly fond of pickles.
Really garlicky kinds, kosher, whatever. I like pickles a lot.
Or other pickled vegetables.
Are okay, yeah.
Pickled garlic's amazing.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Pickled asparagus is quite tasty. We've had pickled peaches.
That sounds interesting.
It is, because there's a few things you can do that are essentially sweet pickled. Like it doesn't taste, like there is a vinegar involved to pickle it.
Sure.
But it doesn't taste vinegary or whatever. It still tastes sweet and is not bad. It's a little weird. It's one of those, and I don't have very many of these with food, but it's one of those knowing like what it, in general... If I eat something and it tastes fine, and you're like, oh, that's, you know, ground up bug butt or whatever, I'm like, oh, well, whatever. But that is one that just seemed weird to me. That one and frog's legs. I can eat frog's legs and they taste fine, but just somehow remembering, and like it still kind of looks like, I don't know. And I'm like, oh, I can't do this. And I had that a little with the pickled peaches. I'm like, but there's vinegar, and then that's weird. I convince myself I can taste it. So, I mean, I can eat them, no problem, but then, like, do you want seconds? I don't know that I should.
It's too psychologically challenging to get past that.
And I don't know why, because I can eat some weird-ass shit, and yet pickled peaches are daunting. Like, I don't know what determines that I'm going to freak out. And I think that's true for everybody.
Well, something I've never had, have no inclination to ever have, I mean, even back when I ate such things, but that is a very popular pickled food is pickled eggs, hard-boiled eggs, right?
Yes, and I have never had those.
Really?
But I've never been given the opportunity. I've avoided them. I don't hang out in the right bars.
Something about that just does not appeal to me at all. It never has. Not. I mean, I used to eat hard-boiled eggs and deviled eggs and things, and I don't so much anymore, but I just, never really appealed to me.
I love eggs. I don't know.
And you've never had them. That surprises
me. No.
It seems like such a common thing for people to have.
It's a common... I've seen it a lot, like, on the TV and heard about it. I don't think I've ever seen them in real life. I've also never had pickled pig's feet.
Yeah.
Never had any kind of pig feet.
Yeah, me neither.
I see it at store sometimes.
That just doesn't even sound appetizing.
In general, feet don't sound appetizing.
Well, it's just... But, I mean...
Pickled feet, especially.
I mean, don't they have... I don't know what... I mean... What is there to eat from it?
Pork, I would guess.
Yeah, but... You know, I don't know.
A lot of meat on the foot.
Yeah, I suppose.
Disgusting to think about, but is there?
Well, why is it more disgusting to think about it on the foot as anywhere else?
I don't know. Because ham is essentially a pig butt.
Well, that's kind of my point.
I'm totally fine with that. I will eat the ass of a pig all day. Yes, people. Take it out of context. I'm running with it.
That's kind of what I'm saying. I don't see why it would be any different.
I'm saying it's arbitrary. It's weird. And I'm sure it's different for different people.
Well, I mean, when Azure Talon says pickled food is great, is he talking about anything that's pickled is great, or is he talking about specific kinds?
Let's assume he is.
So we could...
And therefore...
What about pickled beets?
Yeah, he'd do that. And that's a weird thing, because you know me and beets.
Yeah, you love them.
Beets killed my parents, and no. Even Evil Tony hates beets. There's Evil, and then there's beets. And the producer really likes beets.
Mm-hmm.
Only fresh beets, not pickled beets. And up to the point till before I met her, I had only known beets in pickled form. I just assumed that's how beets are prepared.
Hmm.
Now, they're still disgusting either way, so it doesn't matter to me, but I find it interesting that she very much avoids pickled beets.
I don't even know if I've ever had pickled beets. I mean, I like fresh beets quite a bit.
They're disgusting.
Okay.
They're terrible. I feel like eating them and enjoying them makes you a worse person.
But I don't like, just like them. I really like them.
And I think that tarnishes you as a person, as a human being. I feel like you are lesser.
When one summer we subscribed to a CSA.
Beet of the Month Club.
A CSA, which ended up being like that because they had a lot of beets that year.
And I like most other similar root vegetables and things. Turnips,
yeah.
Radishes, love radishes.
But we go to pick up our share, and it's Community Supported Agriculture, CSA, yes, if you don't know. You purchase a share of what the farmer is going to produce that year, and then you go pick it up at a location, or sometimes they deliver it to you. We went to pick up our share, and there was always beets, and after a while, it was like, you know, we've got a lot of extra beets, so you can have as many beets as you want. And a lot of people didn't take them, but we did. And we had beets with every meal. We had beet soup. We had beets in our salad, and I loved it.
Oh, damn, I really thought this was going to turn into that scene from Forrest Gump.
One of the greatest...
Beet soup.
One of the greatest summers ever with all the beets.
Beet fries. Beet succotash.
I think I did do that during one of the podcasts.
Beet mojitos.
Beets. So I don't just like them. I really love them. I wouldn't say it's my favorite vegetable of all time or anything, but I do like fresh beets.
And, yeah, I think of you as more animal than human now at this point.
I thought that was always kind of true.
No, but way lower life form now.
But, yeah, I don't know what else to say about pickled foods or pickles or whatever.
They're good. They're fine. Yeah.
Should we draw something else from that?
Probably.
Two whole questions from that. That's getting to be a rarity.
This is awesome. It's another one from Azure Talon.
Really?
Yeah.
With three exclamation points.
With three exclamation points. Dear dissonant and confused. Yes?
Yes, producer.
Is there any alternate universe in which Tony likes beets?
He said no. I've asked that question
that
before.
Unlikely.
I've asked that question before and he has said no.
Yeah, no, I found that unlikely. Dear dissonant and confused force voices of the magical talking hat. It's still funny. It doesn't get old. Knock, knock.
Am I supposed to say who's there?
I have no idea.
Oh. That's a thing over there. It's called a knock-knock joke?
Yes, no, I'm familiar.
Okay.
Remember, anthropologist.
Yeah, okay. So, well, I just didn't know if you...
I took extra dimensional...
Yes, that's I know, but... But you seemed confused.
Yeah. Because it just says knock-knock. It's a talent.
Oh.
So maybe next week we get... I don't even... Is this like a chess by mail thing, but with a knock-knock joke?
I don't know.
By hat? Who's there? If you'd like to tell us who's there, go to the blog, themagicaldogginghat.com, and tell us.
Because we don't know.
We have no idea. What is your favorite knock-knock joke?
My favorite knock-knock joke is, knock-knock.
Who's there?
No, wait a minute. You don't say who's there in this one. That's
really?
That's what makes it my favorite.
That makes it complicated. All right.
Knock, well, You know what? There's too much setup to this, so never mind. It's a knock knock joke I heard recently that I thought was really funny. But it's I don't remember who. I think it's the Joker is trying to do a knock knock joke with Batman. And so the Joker says knock knock, and the Batman says, come in. Because Batman doesn't need to know who's there. Batman doesn't need to know who's there.
Yes.
Or he already knows. That's another answer. He already knows who's there.
My favorite.
I like that one.
Is okay. My favorite.
Okay, I have to say who's there.
No, you start.
Oh, I start.
Yes.
Why would I start? That doesn't make any sense.
See, and you ruined it. Thank you.
Okay, sorry.
But that's how you do it. You say you want to hear a knock knock joke, and they say yeah. You say okay, you start, and they say okay, knock knock, and you say who's there.
And they look at you like, oh, crap, what? What?
That's hilarious.
You fooled me.
Yes. My favorite, actually, is knock, knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting cow.
Interrupting
moo. Cow. Oh, come on. I must have told you that one before.
No, you haven't, but that's a good one. I like it, too.
And there are variants on that one.
Yeah, I'm sure you could do interrupting duck, interrupting...
No, but like a physical version, interrupting starfish, and while they're talking, you just smack your full palm up on their face. It's a visual one.
Those are good. Where'd you hear those? Those are pretty good.
Well, that one, I mean, interrupting cow is the original, and then there's variants. I knew a friend who would do interrupting pig, and then when you started to say interrupting pig, who he'd say, women suck. Because, you know, he's a showman. Yeah, you
know. That's...
He was probably drunk when he came up with that. Yeah. But yeah, interrupting cow. And the kid next door, one of them, really likes that joke. But he can't... timing is not an issue for him. So he'll say, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting cow moo. And sometimes he'll just say, knock, knock, who's there? Interrupting cow moo. But he loves that joke, so yeah.
You know, I'm sure there are other knock-knock jokes I'll think of on the way home. Like, oh, that was a good one. I wish I'd remembered that one.
Knock-knock.
They can be pretty funny. Who's there?
Zombies.
Zombies who?
Zombies make honey, and zombies just fly around.
What?
Zombies make honey, and zombies just fly around.
That's kind of confusing, but I get it.
And then there's one that's a dying one. Like, it... In a generation, nobody will know this one. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Sam and Janet.
Sam and Janet who?
Sam and Janet evening.
No way. Yeah, that's okay.
But that'll go away.
You're right. Fast. Pretty soon, nobody's going to know what that means.
Probably half the listeners here didn't know. The producer recently showed me a T-shirt that is a visual representation of the banana one. You know, the classic playground banana one?
Yeah.
It's a door, and then it's like three bananas and an orange, like walking toward the door. Yeah. All right, so. That was fun.
That was odd for Ezra Talon to send such a strange...
Yeah, he's normally so with it.
Like, with this one, Azure Talon with...
Seriously?
Yeah. Big Azure Talon night.
I'm so excited. You having trouble? Holding the bit?
I'm kind of feeling sorry for you, and I don't know why. There's this welling of sympathy, and I can't figure...
I am ecstatic.
I can't.
So I don't know why.
I can't figure it out.
I am on cloud. Is there better than 9? Can I be cloud 10? That's where I am. I would be tap dancing right now if I was standing up. Because this is my version of heaven right here. 3 questions from Azure Talon.
Okay. Dear dissonant and confused force voices of the magical talking.
And the hat trick of that opening. Can you not read it, Grandpa?
Well, I don't under... Singe? S-I-N-G-E? What's that?
S-I-N-G-E?
Well, that's what it looks like. Am I not reading it right? Or...
Oh, let me see it.
I'm sorry. It's probably me.
No. The hat has this weird tendency. I sometimes have it as well, but the hat way more. Where when writing a word, the hat, and again me sometimes, but the hat obviously, will just leave off the last character.
I can't even guess what that is.
A singer, I believe.
A singer?
Yeah, I believe.
Name a singer you can't stand the sound of. Okay, that makes sense. Well, there's the model X57. It just makes this horrible whine while you're sewing with it. And I don't even know how they could even have sold it that way. And nobody...
Oh, my God, you're a horrible person.
When I worked at Sears and sold sewing machines, nobody wanted it.
And yet, if I asked you who your favorite brother was, you wouldn't answer like this.
Yes, I would. I'd say it was the Model 6000 because it was, what do you call those? It's not like a regular sewing machine. It's
a got serger? All these.
Yeah, that's right. How do you know that?
I took junior high home ec.
Yeah, a serger.
Did awesome. You really sell sewing machines?
I did sell sewing machines at Sears. I did. We didn't sell singers, though, actually. I think
really?
We did sell brothers, though. Anyway.
That's weird.
I know he means a vocalist. And I can't think of one that I can't stand the sound of, really. I mean.
Well, there's plenty I don't like.
Yeah.
And that I really don't like. But one where just the sound just gets to me. I'm trying to think. I feel like there must be some.
I don't know. There are songs that I used to hear over and over again on the radio that I didn't like the first time I heard them, much less the 600th time. But
yeah.
It wasn't the person's voice that grated or anything. It was just the song was stupid. Or
I don't do super well with Kesha's voice.
I don't even know who that is.
And for a while, I actually liked a couple of her songs, but her voice annoys me.
You know, Jewel... one thing that often bothered me about her singing was, it was like she'd sing in like three or four different styles in the middle of the song. And I think for some people that was stylistic and cool, but for me
yeah.
It was very jarring and kind of annoying. I wouldn't say it grated on my nerves or anything, but I just didn't like it.
Certain hip-hop artists who have a very specific gimmicky voice can bug me, but I can't think of any right now. The only one I can think of right now is Lil Jon, and actually I find Lil Jon hilarious.
What?
Yep!
I don't like Eminem's voice at all.
Well, I was going to go with Eminem. I think I like Eminem's voice fine, but the slight variant he does when he does his Slim Shady character, I do not care for that voice. But overall, I do like Eminem. I like his voice. I have real conflicted feelings about his library as a whole.
I don't think I can't stand the sound of it.
That's a weird one.
It just doesn't appeal to me.
And there are songs that I dread so much that just the sound of, like, the opening of it will make me cringe. But again, that's more tied into the entire song.
Yeah. There are some songs from bands that are often labeled emo because the vocalist actually sounds kind of whiny.
That's
a little bit annoying, but I wouldn't say.
But
I
sometimes
can't
it works.
It.
Like the guy
yeah,
from
yeah.
Counting Crows
That's
does
right.
it all the time, and
That's
I love
right.
when he
sometimes
does.
It does work. You're right.
I frequently love themes from movies that were done by pop artists. If I hear the openings to the theme from Armageddon that Aerosmith did, if I hear My Heart Will Go On, if I hear the start of that, like I will, there are certain songs that I will wreck the car trying to desperately change the radio station before I hear any more of it.
Yeah, I can't think of anybody that I just can't stand to hear the sound.
But it seems like it should be a thing.
I guess.
So you guys should have some. So you should go to the blog and tell us who you just can't even stand the sound of.
I mean,
to be fair, I haven't listened to a lot of Yoko Ono.
Well, I think when you're a
that didn't fly.
I think when you're a musician, which I am,
whatever you got to tell yourself.
No, when you're a musician, you just tend to hear the musicality in whatever it is. And so even if you don't like it, even if it's not your thing, it's, you're not ever going to cross over into that place of, this is going to make my head explode if I listen to any more of this.
Hey there.
Like the aliens in...
hey there.
What is wrong with you?
I can't see you.
Hey, what are you trying to say? Like the aliens' heads exploding when they're listening to... what's that movie? Mars Attacks. And they're listening to... God, what's that guy's name?
You should never illustrate a point with Mars Attacks. That is just a terrible
But who's the guy singing at the end of it? He does a little...
I don't remember. And I'm kind of proud of that.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe I don't remember his name. Well, I'm sure our listeners remember his name. I cannot believe I don't remember this guy's name. But you don't even know who I'm talking about?
No. I saw Mars Attacks once, and I was sorry.
Wow, that's a pretty good film, I think.
It is not.
Yeah, it is. It's funny.
No, you're all wrong.
No, that's funny.
It is the movie version of Beats.
Okay, whatever. I know I'm going to remember this guy's name, like when I'm driving home and when I hate myself for not remembering it on the podcast.
In both universes, Ezzy is cute.
Are you going to sing that and then gives up?
And then gives up. I used that on somebody the other day who had no concept of what I was doing, and so it really... That noise always cracks me up.
Why?
The producer owns three iDevices, but two portable iDevices, an iPhone and an iPad.
Mm-hmm.
And the producer has a very handy app for these, in which one of them, if you use this app, can locate the other, and it can make it make a noise, so you can find it. And it's that weird sonar-sounding noise, and it always cracks me up, because it means that she's lost one of them. And it's always somewhere, like, she'll hit it, and it's, like, under her butt, or she'll hit it, and we're like, we don't hear it at all, and then it's in the bedroom. It always kind of amuses me. It's kind of like the time I lost my iPod, and I couldn't find it, and so I called my boss, because she had an iPhone, and told her to just keep IMing me things, because it would make a little blink noise every time. And so I told her to do that, and I just walked around the house listening and eventually found it. And she was just finding random emoji and just sending them over and over again. Okay.
Let's draw something.
Is there a singe that you can't stand the sound of?
No.
Like maybe hair? Singed hair?
No.
That would sound horrible.
It doesn't really sound like much of anything. Okay, let's like draw that. Something. Let's draw something else from that.
Is it my turn?
No, you drew that one, didn't you?
I don't think
so. Oh, no, I drew that one. You're right, sorry. Boy, I forgot we'd already... That's like three we've drawn already.
Ow. Ow. Ow.
You really don't like that song?
No, I actually really do like that song.
Oh.
Ow.
This is about the cat people, in case you didn't know.
Yes, it's all about the cat people.
Not the cat people. The cat.
Putting out fire with gasoline. Ow! All right, and she's down. All right, this one is from Craig.
Oh.
Who is also cool, but not as cool as Azure Tower. Open world video games.
Mm-hmm.
Parenthetical. Skyrim. GTA. Watch Dogs.
Got it.
Etc.
Got it.
Suck. Agree or disagree? Craig. This is a weird one.
Well,
I don't know a lot of people that take that stance. I haven't heard a lot of people say something the equivalent of open world games suck.
Okay. The short answer is strongly disagree. However,
you never give a short answer, so.
That's right. I hope everyone's learned their lesson on that one.
No, if they're still listening to the podcast, they clearly have not learned that lesson.
a lot is sacrificed to make a game open world.
Absolutely.
And if you are the type of person who likes the things that get thrown away and you don't appreciate the benefit that you get in the whole open world part, then I can completely understand you thinking these things suck. And I happen to, I think I mostly do prefer games that are not open world because of all those interesting story elements and other things that they get to keep.
In general, yeah, you get way better story because you have a story.
Right.
The part, but this is an interesting thing I've discovered. It's not always one or the other, and I think it partially depends on your definition of open world.
Yeah.
Because the Assassin's Creed ones are a very good example. They are open world in that I'm playing them and I'm in whatever city and I can wander around and do all sorts of side missions and crap. And I don't have to go on to the next part if I don't want to, and I can do other stuff and things. And it's very open in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
But at no point am I going to change the story.
Yeah.
The story is the story, and I will just move it along at whatever pace and in whatever order I choose.
Mm-hmm.
So in some ways that's open world, and in some ways that's the exact antithesis of that. Frequently, open world nowadays is associated with you have influence over the story.
Yeah. Well,
and that's when I think then you frequently get a worse story because they can't just set down a thing.
The more open the open world is, well, Skyrim's a good example, all right?
Skyrim, Elder Scrolls in general is a very good example.
the story in, the stories, I should say, in Skyrim, compared to other video games, especially if you're the kind of person who really likes story in video games, that's one of the reasons you play video games, Skyrim will not satisfy you.
No.
And so, therefore, you will think, and your opinion will be completely valid, that Skyrim sucks.
Yes.
However, if you are the kind of person who also sometimes likes to play video games just as a simulator kind of thing...
And to explore a setting.
And you're okay with the story being a little bit lighter, then you're going to think it's great. Yep. Where you can go in and you can live in the world, you can buy a house there. I mean, to some people, crafting, to some people that's very, very fun. And so it doesn't suck. But even those people, I think, would acknowledge that you're sacrificing a lot of story, but they're okay with it because they like what they get in return.
Yes.
But if you don't like what you get in return, if you're not that kind of person, and I can imagine there's a lot of game players who wants to go collect herbs and potions and stuff? Who wants to do that? If you play Skyrim and you're not interested in any of that and you just plot pound all the way through it, it's going to be a short game. It's not going to be that interesting a game. And you're going to think it sucks. And I can totally understand that.
But there can be exceptions. They are very rare. And some of them are debatable. The debatable one I can think of is Red Dead Redemption. Some people would say that manages to do both.
I don't know. I think that would be worse than Skyrim because
I have a great example.
Okay.
Mass Effect.
Mm.
I feel like Mass Effect pulled off both. Now, but again, there are people who disagree. There are some people who are really kind of upset about the story.
Yeah.
And I feel that game was the openest of open worlds and yet had an incredibly compelling story, in my opinion.
A lot of choices.
But it's a rarity.
Yeah.
A lot of choices and just a very personal feel to me. I mean, I felt like I was invested and involved in the story, and I felt like I don't know what's going to happen, and depending on what I did, the story would come out differently.
Yeah.
And the moment would come out differently.
So your choices had weight.
It mattered, yes. Yeah. Whereas in a game where there is none of that agency, it can still be a compelling story, but the sense of gravity just becomes, okay, what do I do to progress it?
Right. You don't feel personally involved.
And you don't feel that
it.
Pressure of, what if I take the wrong path? No, because I'll take a path. Oh, died on that one. Okay, I'll take this path. Hey, look, a cutscene. continuing.
Yeah.
And I feel like Mass Effect really pulled that off. It is a rarity, but it can happen. But in general, the way I do it, because I appreciate both, And the way I do it is I try and mix up the games. I play a game that's one way, and I play a game that's another way.
If I were the one playing, I mean, you know, as everyone already knows, most of the time games are played in our house. They're either cooperative, so we can both play. But if they're not, the other adult in the house plays while I watch.
Yeah.
Now, she enjoys the open world games and all that stuff, that crafty stuff.
Yeah.
And because she enjoys it, I enjoy watching it. But if I were the player, I wouldn't enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
And I don't think, left to my own devices, I guess is what I'm saying, I would very much care for open world games. I don't know if I'd think they suck, but I think I'd mostly agree with Craig as far as, yeah, they're not really that great to play. And I would much prefer something that...
more linear.
Yeah, a little bit more. I don't mind...
More focused.
I don't mind the BioWare... Well, I liked Red Dead Redemption for its very basic, straightforward, you know, honor-dishonor dynamic. It wasn't that complicated.
No,
it wasn't. Wasn't that hard to deal with. I kind of like that. I Mass Effect was really cool and deep and rich and everything, but I think if it were that complicated, it would be asking me to invest more into it than I really want to. If I'm playing a game, I want there to be a compelling story, but I don't necessarily want to be part of the story. I kind of want to...
And Mass Effect is a rarity because it did require a lot of investment.
Yeah.
And it had to be good enough to warrant it.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a lot of video games I can like plenty that if they had required as much investment as Mass Effect did, I would have thought sucked.
Like, I like the...
Because they didn't pay off
as much. I like the Dragon Age games. I think it's a good combination of all that stuff. It lets you make choices.
The first one more than the second one.
Yeah, it lets you make choices, but it's not like you're agonizing over them or something.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's pretty...
Well, I don't know. I've got a little weird in Dragon Age 2, especially.
There's a... You know, there aren't very many types of media that... I mean, maybe that's why I don't get into fiction in general. I'm not interested in getting lost in a story at all.
Ah, see, and I very much am.
Well, most people are, but I like stories and I like to interact with them. But I don't really care to get lost in it. I just want to play the game and, you know, move on, get the story elements that I'm interested in, and go on to the next thing. I don't really. It's not I don't know. I'm very academic about it, you know. So if it starts to try to pull me in, I just get sort of frustrated with it, and I just don't want to deal with that.
You're very academic about lots of stuff.
I'm pretty much academic about everything.
Yes.
But yeah, so I have to say I kind of, you know, agree with Craig, but I can see the value of open-world games also, and when they're played in our house, I enjoy watching them be played. But I don't think I'd enjoy playing them just by myself.
Okay, one more.
Okay.
And then I'm going to sleep. Oh, shit.
Okay, rule number one. This is truly rule number one about the hat. Do not turn it upside down. That's bad form. I don't think you've ever done that before.
I don't think so either.
But you just did. It's hard to draw things out randomly if they're not in the hat.
Draw them all out randomly at once.
Oh, wow. I'm not quite sure how to interpret this one. Dear Hatlex, so you know who wrote this one.
I have a sense.
Sir Guido?
Yes.
iOS or Android? But parenthetical, this is more for William since Tony is weird. Haven't we long established that I don't use these things? I have no mobile devices whatsoever.
Literally, so. William has no experience with either of those OSs. And so, I have experience with both. So
why would it be a question for me?
Is he confused about what our names are?
Maybe.
Because I actually literally have one device with one and one device with other.
Well, give your insight because I have no mobile device at all, and I don't know if I ever will have one. I don't even technically have a cell phone, although our household has a cell phone.
I don't have a cell phone, but I have an iPod Touch, fourth generation.
And I don't...
It has iOS 6. I can't get 7 or above for that one.
I only take the cell phone places when the other adult in the house commands me to.
And I have...
Because I'm traveling somewhere and I need it. That's it, so...
And I have a Kindle Fire HD, which has a version of Android that Amazon uses.
Do you have some preference between these two, or to you is like, well, there's one of this operating system or this operating system? It doesn't matter. This works here, this works there.
My opinions on them are similar to my opinions on Macs versus PCs. There are benefits to both. Macs are a little more plug-and-play. They're a little more idiot-proof. They're a little more straightforward. Still quite powerful, but just user-friendly, as it were. And then there's just something more robust to me about PCs. I feel like I have more options with PCs. But I like them both very much. I tend to err on the side of PCs. In our household, the producer has a Mac. I have a PC. That is how it has been.
So between those two, you prefer the Android?
I think so. I like a lot of things about iOS. And I would say I like the operating system on my iPod better than I like the operating system on my Kindle. That being said, when I upgrade to a grown-up tablet, it will probably not be an iPad. It will probably be some sort of Android device. And I like the freedom. The app market for Android devices is way less restrictive than the Apple one. Apple puts a lot of heavy pressure on app makers if you're making stuff for iOS versus
Android. Well, in keeping with their philosophy on all Apple stuff.
Keep tight control, keep everything black box, all that.
I just based on other experiences I've had with various operating systems, I can pretty much tell you that I would have no preference at all between these two things. I'd barely notice the difference. One would be one thing and the other would be another, and I would just be okay with that. I don't typically like sitting down at a Mac to work on it because I'm not familiar with it.
Yeah.
But that's the only reason. It's not, I don't think it's dumb or stupid or unintuitive. I just have to get used to it. There's never been anything about Apple operating systems that I prefer or dislike as compared to other operating systems. So I seriously doubt if I did have mobile devices, both, for example, that I use, I can tell you I probably would have no preference whatsoever. Mm. And I honestly don't understand other people who do. And they can explain it to me, but often the things they tell me about the differences that, oh, this is so much this and this is so much that, I don't get it. Like you were saying, Apple is more intuitive and user-friendly or whatever. Yeah, I hear people say that who prefer Apple all the time. But to me, Windows is not any less intuitive or user-friendly or anything
else. Well, and
else.
Ultimately, we're talking about that in a vacuum. We're saying you pick up a 3-year-old child from the Sudan and dump him in a room with a MacBook and an Asus laptop. We're saying that he would find the MacBook more intuitive. The real answer is the one that's more intuitive is the one that you've been using for years.
Yeah.
And so, like, for me, Windows is way more intuitive.
Well, it just seems so subjective, and it seems like people, when they argue about it, try to make it seem like it's not subjective.
Yeah.
But the more they talk about it, the more
subjective.
The word
intuitive is always subjective, and there's a large chunk of the world that doesn't realize.
But a lot of things people argue about it that way to me.
Yeah.
With, like, you know, people are arguing about, you know, Marvel versus DC, or Superman versus Batman. It's like, there's no right answer here, but people,
they're not real, and neither are OSs.
People argue about these things, and they think the reasons they're giving are so logical and reasonable, and only an idiot wouldn't understand, when the truth is, no, this is all just opinion, everybody. We can have a nice, friendly conversation about this and even disagree, but people seem to want their opinion, which is all it is, to be a fact. It's kind of weird. I don't quite understand that impulse.
As the person whose opinions are facts, I can tell you it's not as exciting as you'd think, so you should probably not worry about it. And that's just my opinion, but I've said it now, so it's
now it's a fact.
And as you can tell, I'm turning back into a pumpkin, so we should wrap this up so I can go to bed.
You are looking pretty orange.
I know. It just kicked in. I'm very tired now. So write the hat, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Talk about the hat, themagicaltalkinghat.com.
And argue about which is better, Tony or William, and make sure you state it.
As a fact.
As a fact, not an opinion.
Because they're not. A fact. And like us on Facebook, and subscribe to us on YouTube, and order our sandwich at Reggie's Deli. Visit our gift shop in the Denver airport. And tune in next week.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com. Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.